SRN. This is Drew Stukogger. You're listening to Cinema Crespedizo on the SBK Radio Network.
For the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena, the video drone. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it. Therefore, television is reality. And reality is less than television. Max, I'm so glad you came to me. I've been through it all myself, you see. Your reality is already half video hallucination. If you're not careful, it will become total hallucination. You'll have to learn to live in a very strange new world. I had a brain tumor, and I had visions. I believe the visions caused the tumor and not the reverse. I could feel the visions coalesce and become flesh. Uncontrollable flesh. But when they removed the tumor, it was called Videodrome.
Welcome to episode 25 of Cinema Crespedizo. It is me, your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, script doctor, traveling trigger man. If you need any bounties out there, I'll go get them. Let me know. I could use the work. With me, as always, is the Ed McMahon to my Carson, the Richter to my Conan, the jelly to my peanut butter.
That's kind of weird.
Drewster Cogburn, how's it going?
What's up, dude?
Thanks for being here again.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I want to be your jelly, bro.
Fair enough. And super special guest here for episode 25. We're super happy to have him. The one and only local legend, Curtis Earth. Curtis, how's it going, buddy?
Super.
Thanks for coming out, man. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure to finally be on the show.
Oh, it's wonderful. We tried to make it happen before. For some reason, we thought it'd be smart to schedule you on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey,
I'm glad that you guys were able to adapt the schedule and
we're flexible like that. We're glad we were able to reschedule and have you come back in. Hey, what was I thinking scheduling a father on Father's Day?
Well, you know, I didn't know it was Father's Day either. Like
we didn't think about it.
We planned it like 3 months ahead of time,
way ahead of time.
And on the iPhone, it doesn't say, by the way, this is Father's Day.
Although it should.
It would be nice if it did.
All of these calendars, they should have the holidays preset.
At least the basic ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Like heads up, what are you planning for today? Because it's the 4th of July. Oh no.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to having some fun with you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We got a lot to do. We got plenty to talk about. The first half of the show, we have a connection through SBK Live.
Yes, we do.
The wonderful SBK Live. I was on Monday nights for a couple years doing movie stuff. Drew's wearing an SBK Live shirt, very nice shirt. And you were on Fridays doing trivia for...
Fridays for the entire run of the show, yeah, and I don't have a shirt. Yeah, how is that possible?
That's because you weren't at the live event. I was the one hawking the t-shirts there,
That's right. And Drew, I'd like to thank you for being at that live event. I couldn't be there. You know, the one they just had, Curtis,
at the
barcade. Yeah, huh? I couldn't go. It was a rare opportunity for me to put in some overtime for the man. I had to make that money, you know. Got to hustle.
Well, you know, I actually did go, but I.
Oh, were you there?
No. Well, this is what happened. Uh-oh. I had a show at the Copper Rocket that night.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was Tuesday night, I believe, and so afterwards, I rushed down there, and the only two people left was SBK and Tom, the beer guy. Yeah, and they were getting ready to leave because SBK has to get up at 3 in the morning. So we talked briefly, but I got to write the toast.
Oh, yeah.
For that
yes,
night.
You did. Oh, it was a very good toast, sir.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
That is good to hear. That's right, because it is beer of the week. And you would do beer of the week and then follow with the trivia, so you'd be there to do the toast.
Yeah, they gave me that times. Job early on because I think at the beginning, Matt was doing the toast when we first started that segment. And he was going to online like toasts. So a lot of these toasts you've heard before.
Just like generic stuff, yeah.
Generic stuff, yeah. Irish toast and stuff. So one day he said, hey, you want to do the toast? And I like to personalize the toast.
Yeah, that's what made it so great.
And I got that job.
That's what happens. You do it good once, they'll ask you to do it again before you know it. You're stuck doing it.
Yeah.
I am drinking beer. Drew's drinking, but we don't have a toast. Maybe we'll toast later.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe in the second half we'll.
Maybe in the second half. For the first half, what we do, it's a lot like what I would do on SBK's show. We'll do the box office review. We'll talk about new movies coming out and stuff like that. But first, we're going to do the Netflix pick of the week. Got the Crespo Diso randomizer 9000 right there. It's, you know.
I was wondering what that was.
We got high technology here.
Yeah, it's high tech. Yeah. We need you to reach in there and please pick this week's Netflix pick of the week. Don't read it right away. Don't read it out loud.
I won't.
Give it to Drew so he can verify. Make sure Netflix still has it. Because there's been a few times when I picked movies out of there, didn't bother checking. Tell people, go to Netflix, watch this movie. And then it's not on there anymore.
It's not there, yeah. And there's about 5,000 movies in there.
That thing is loaded. And, man, they change movies all the time. So we get Drew to verify, and then his computer takes forever. So anyone out there...
We're good.
This is our weekly request for anyone that has a used MacBook. If you want to donate it to the show, or even sell it cheap, the Drewster Cogburn, let him know. Yeah. Drew, what do we got?
No.
Oh, we're good?
Yeah, we're
good. Okay, so Curtis, what's the movie, buddy?
The movie is Quigley Down Under, if I'm not mistaken, starred Tom Selleck.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. In Australia. He played an American in Australia, so...
Good.
They didn't ask him to do any sort of crazy accent. But it's a Western. It's an Australian-set Western with Alan Rickman as the bad guy from
Die Hard.
Of course.
He's always the bad guy.
He is always the bad guy, right? Selleck's character Quigley is all about having this huge gun that he can like shoot people from, like shoot things from super far away, like it's a crazy marksman of some sort. It's a fun movie. Alan Rickman's character is all about wanting to live in the Old West. He's like forcing people to draw down and have like Mexican standoffs, Australian standoffs.
So it was a period piece.
Yes, yeah, it takes place in like the late 1800s,
1860s.
Like 1860s.
So it probably took Quigley about a year and a half to get to Australia.
Just to get there. how would he get around if he's from America? A lot of boats, a bunch of trains.
Steamers.
Yep.
That's definitely a fun movie. I enjoy it. There's some parts of it that don't hold up so well. When is it from? Mid-90s?
1990.
Oh, early 90s. Yeah, Tom Selleck. That makes sense. 1990.
You know, I don't remember him being in many movies, Tom Selleck.
No.
Mr. Baseball?
Mr. Baseball. Yeah, I love Mr. Baseball. He had his chance, you know, with Indiana Jones. That was going to make him a movie star.
Really? I could see him in that.
There's even, if you look on YouTube, you can go Tom Selleck, Indiana Jones. You can find some screen test of him and Sean Young playing Marion instead of Karen Allen.
Okay.
Is it Karen Allen? Yeah. And he's totally the fedora, the brown jacket, everything with the Tom Selleck mustache. So Indiana Jones almost had an awesome mustache. The problem was he couldn't get out of his Magnum PI contract.
Yeah, and that was shooting in Hawaii, enjoying himself.
At the exact same time, and they wouldn't let him go. He's like, I need a break to make this movie. You're like, nah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Because those movies are just iconic.
Yeah, it would have been something else. Now Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. My question is, how come Sean Young didn't get the part? I know she was going crazy at that time in Hollywood. She was known as a loose cannon.
I don't know if she was like... that was like a hard casting at that point. Like she's definitely getting that role, or that was just some test footage to see if she would work in that role. And they decided not to go that route. Not too sure how it worked with her.
Yeah. So now, did Karen Allen have to affect an Australian accent
in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No.
I'm talking about in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, that's right. I got sidetracked.
Actually. Yep. Quigley Down Under has Laura San Giacomo.
Correct. Oh, I was in love with her.
Yeah, and she was. I remember her a lot from, what was the TV show she was on?
David Spade. Yeah, she was on News.
And Enrico
something.
Galantoni.
News something.
It was something. Anyway, it was. Yeah. It was
I know the movie you're talking about. I mean the TV show.
It was some crappy '90s TV show. It was on forever. I think she has some crazy, bad Australian accent, and she's actually playing a crazy, kind of a crazy character.
Yeah.
So enjoy that one, people. Quickly down under. That's our Netflix instant pick of the week. Thank you very much, Curtis.
You're so welcome.
All right, let's get into the box office review for the weekend. Drew, you got the numbers there?
Yes, sir. At number five this week, we're starting off with Man of Steel, which had a weekend gross of $20.8 million, total gross of $248.6 on a budget of $225.
It's pretty rare when the number five movie makes $20 million.
Yes. So
that's a pretty big weekend for the box office. Have you seen Man of Steel yet, Curtis?
I have not.
It's good.
Interested at all? I mean, I know.
No, I am. I'm not even take it in tonight.
Superman. Oh, really? Yeah. It's a good fun Sunday night movie. Theaters won't be too packed either. Now it's, the third week it's been out, I believe?
Uh-huh.
It's at $436 million worldwide so far.
Nice. Yeah. It's going to keep making some money.
It should get to, I can put it at $700 million worldwide.
Yeah,
that makes it a good money maker. That's a winner. Already, it's the number one grossing Superman movie of all time.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's blown away everything. Superman Returns barely made $200 million domestic.
Now, is this based, or should I say adapted for inflation? In other words...
If you want to adapt for inflation, see, that's I always have a thing with doing that, because if you just adapt numerically for inflation, you also have to kind of adapt. You have to think of everything else. Sure, movies were cheaper in the 80s,
right?
And there were also less screens for people to see those movies, so there was less opportunity, so that's why numbers were lower back then.
Right.
But there were also less choices, you only had a handful of TV channels, home entertainment wasn't the same as it is now, you didn't have the internet, YouTube, there's a lot less choices for entertainment, so back then more people would go to the movies.
So you feel it equals out.
I think it equals out. It's hard to take all those intangibles into, it's a lot easier to just... adjust for inflation and then declare Gone with the Wind the highest grossing film of all time. You got to think about Gone with the Wind had like five separate theatrical runs in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. You know, there wasn't even DVD back then. You wanted to see a movie,
you had to go to see
it in the movie theater. And if you liked it, you had to see it a bunch of times so you could remember it, because you weren't going to get another chance to see it.
Nope. You know, you bring something up that I was thinking about the other day. I believed I had a superpower when I was a kid.
Oh, right.
Nice.
Because... just like you said, even on if you didn't see the movie in the movie theater, you aren't going to see it.
Right.
Yeah. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and so I can remember going through the TV guide for the week. As soon as we got the TV guide, and looking to see what movies were coming on that I didn't get to see in the movie theater.
Catch them on TV.
And you see them terribly edited and stuff, but still, you got to see the movie.
Right.
But I remember sometimes I would think of a movie I really wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then just really concentrate on it, and like in the next TV guide, it's coming on, on the Monday night movie or Saturday afternoon, or Tarzan
the movie of the
or
week or something. Yeah. That you used the Secret of the Universe. Is
that's
what
right?
Used.
I was using. I didn't even know what it was.
And see, you should have wrote a book about it.
I know.
Back then, you would have beat so many people. You would have beat Oprah to the punch.
Everybody.
Man of Steel, making a lot of money, doing pretty good. Curtis, you're going to go see it, so I'm sure people can hear you talk about it eventually on your radio show.
Yep.
Curtis Earth Show, right?
91.5 WPRK.
Do you podcast that show at all, archive it for people to listen to, or do you have to listen to it live?
You have to listen to it live. Yeah. Like, my cousin Big Mike and I run that show.
Yes.
This is going on our third year. Nice. And the first five shows, I think, we... made a point of recording them.
Oh, really?
And then we're just like, I don't want to be bothered with it. You don't want to be bothered with it, so.
Right on. All right, well, there you go.
We're not tech heads.
You got to listen to the show Thursdays, 5 to 7. That's your only chance to listen. I assume you can listen, through the Rollins College website, you can probably stream it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have family and friends up in New York and New Hampshire and Pennsylvania that listen to it
that way.
But
excellent. All right.
You got to listen to it live still.
So get on that, people. He'll give you his Man of Steel review soon.
I will.
Number four movie.
Number four this week, we have White House Down. It had a weekend gross of $25.7 million, same as the total on a budget of $150.
White House Down.
Yeah.
This is the third John McClane-ish movie of the year.
Yeah, Channing Tatum was straight up John McClane.
Channing Tatum was John McClane, down to the wife beater.
Yes.
it's in the contract.
Oh, yeah,
it is. If you want to do a John McClane type character, The character's name is John Cale. I mean, they don't even try that hard.
All they did was take out three letters from McClane.
Seriously. So that means this year we've had A Good Day to Die Hard, which is the actual, quote, official John McClane movie.
And it was terrible.
And yeah, it was horrible.
And then there was Olympus Has Fallen.
Which I didn't see.
Which was the first fake John McClane terrorist taking over the White House movie. And then White House Down is the second fake John McClane terrorist taking over the White House movie. Funny how that works
yeah.
out. Haven't seen all three of those movies. Good Day to Die Hard, easily the worst. Easily the worst. And I would say White House Down is more enjoyable than Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to see that one, Olympus Has Fallen? The Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart's the president, and that one, North Koreans take over the White House.
North Koreans?
North Koreans nice. Take over
did
the White
the
House.
Did North Koreans write the script?
No. No, they didn't.
Because see that happening.
They're the villain du jour, though. They're the cinematic, you know, between that and Red Dawn, and there's another movie recently where the North Koreans were the bad guys. They're like the new Soviets, the new Nazis, you know. And then it's North Korea. I mean, so what? No one over there is watching our movies.
Nope.
They're on lockdown. They don't even know this is happening.
Yeah, they don't even know what year it is.
Exactly. They don't, poor guys. They think it's still the 50s over there.
Yeah.
So this one is more of a domestic threat. I don't think it's really giving anything away. Just look at the cast list, and it's all American. So it's a domestic threat, which is interesting. So it's more, you can't really like point fingers at other countries.
Right.
Makes it feel a little less jingoistic, you know. Because that's the thing with Olympus Has Fallen. I felt like, man, this is so, like, rah-rah USA, bad North Korea, you know. Like, it just feels like old-timey racist from the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
This feels like a movie from the 90s, but without the racism, because it's just a bunch of Americans.
Yeah,
and then Jamie Foxx is the president. That's also a very 90s thing to do.
Yeah.
Who has a chrome rocket launcher.
He has a chrome rocket launcher at one point. It's an absurd movie. Roland Emmerich is a director. He's crafted such classics as Universal Soldier, Day After Tomorrow,
Independence
2012.
Day.
Independence Day is his most popular film. So
he referenced his own movie.
He referenced his own movie. Someone mentions Independence Day while they're doing a tour of the White House. It's a little cheesy.
Yes. It made me really...
The entire movie is just a little cheesy, but you know it's.
But it's a Roland Emmerich movie,
and
it comes with territory.
And even though it's a movie about violence at the White House and a terroristic threat and all that, they still have fun with it. There's still comedy in there. There's humor. You know, it makes it enjoyable. It doesn't take itself seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I could definitely recommend people check it out on like a Redbox, or if they're in an airplane and it's on, you know, spend a couple bucks to watch it on an airplane. It's a decent way to. Spend a couple hours.
You won't feel like your life is just. You'll never get that hour and a half.
Yeah, I don't think you'll feel cheated. It is 2 hours, so it's a little long. It could be a little shorter. That's probably my main gripe with it.
Yeah.
What did you think overall?
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely Redbox.
Redboxer.
Yeah.
That's how we rate movies. We tell people whether they should see it in the theater, if they should get it on Redbox, see it on the airplane.
That's a service, because that's how I think about movies. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Monetary.
You know, like, is it worth going to see in the theater?
Or should you just wait for HBO or something like that?
Do you guys like 3D movies?
It all depends on the 3D.
Yeah. I was on board at first, but now
you're over it now?
I'm over it. I've turned. Now, like Drew says, it depends on... It depends on if the movie's shot in 3D, first of all, or post-converted. I won't see a post-converted 3D movie. And, you know, if it's a director that's, like, one of the masters. Like, Martin Scorsese's Hugo was his first movie shot in 3D. So I had to see that to see what he would do.
And what did you think?
I thought the movie... First, the movie itself is fantastic. I loved it. And then the 3D was great. He really used it very well, like, as a storytelling tool and not just a gimmick.
Right.
You know, that's the difference between most filmmakers. A lot of people do 3D and they just have shit flying at you and... There's really not much thought into it. They just use it for the sake of using it.
Right.
And then there are people like Scorsese and Ang Lee with Life of Pi. Those guys, they actually use the tool as a tool.
Right.
You know, and to help tell their story.
Advance the story.
Exactly. And it's so definitely depends. I don't think I've seen a 3D movie yet this year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no.
And off the top of my head, I can't think of the first one I would see in 3D.
I think the last one I saw in 3D, which I thought was pretty good, was Avatar.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the pinnacle of 3D filmmaking.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, Cameron knows what he's doing. To the point, I think, of the detriment of the actual story. Like, it's like he spent so much time working on the technology of Avatar.
Right.
then when it came time to tell the story, it's like, let's do something really simple and basic and then just dress it up, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't want to take too many risks. We don't want to spend all this money and develop all this technology and then tell a crazy, weird movie that people might not be interested in. So let's just do Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Smurfs.
Dances with Smurfs on another planet. You know, Fern Gully, live action.
Yeah.
Sort of live action. It's mostly CG. But, I mean, yeah, the 3D is incredible. Comes out.
Oh, is there going to be an Avatar 2?
They have announced Avatar 2 and 3. They're going to shoot those kind of a back-to-back deal. So I'll definitely see those in 3D. Because,
yeah.
You got to.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, not everything.
Yeah, I feel
you gotta
that,
be picky choosy.
I feel that it makes fiscal sense.
Oh, yeah.
Once you got the cast there and everything in place, mm-hmm. and to shoot two movies at one time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, if you know you're gonna do a sequel,
and if you know what you're doing, you know that screwed people up in the past. You know, they start shooting two movies and they go over budget and they can't even finish a second movie. They just have to release the first one and hope, you know, fingers crossed that it all works out. You know, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
It's a gamble sometimes. All right, what's White House Down? We both thought it was okay.
Okay.
Okay. What's the next movie?
All right, number three this week, we had World War Z. We had a weekend gross of $29.8 million, total gross of $123.7 on a budget of $190.
And we reviewed this in last week's show.
Yes, sir.
You can check that out to hear our full reviews. You can also go to chriscrespo.com to read my full written review. Have you seen this one yet, Curtis?
No.
Are you interested at all in zombie movies?
No,
is that
in fact,
your thing?
I can't stand zombies, even if they're funny zombie movies.
Really?
I'm the one guy that doesn't like the zombie movies.
You're that guy.
He's not into
you're
the
zombies. It's you. You're that guy.
Well, you know, I think I had this conversation with you on my radio show last week.
Okay.
Or when you called in.
Yeah.
Where I that's the only thing I have nightmares about and always have.
Yeah.
Where you can't get away and you're running
and they're
but you're in
there.
Slow motion and they're in slow motion but they're getting closer to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those desperate desperation dreams.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
And the zombie thing just feeds that to me. And then
so you're going to just stay away?
I'm going to stay away.
Fair enough. This one isn't really one to break that streak of not seeing zombie movies. They're better ones to give in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a true story. When I was a kid, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead came out.
The 70s, yeah, yeah.
It came out, and I was maybe in 7th grade.
Young, yeah.
And I walked to the movie theater because I really wanted to see this movie bad. And it was, you know, it was like a mile and a half from my house. I walked to the movie theater. I paid for the ticket. I go in. It's in the afternoon, I should tell you. It was Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
I watched the movie because I saw the trailers. I didn't know I was that afraid. I was afraid of zombies yet.
Right. You had to find that out.
I watched that movie. It was light when I was running home. I was tearing ass home.
Oh my God, they're after me.
Like, I got to get to my house. You know, anybody who was just walking slow was scaring me.
That's funny. It was an effective movie.
Yeah.
It got you.
That's what started me off.
It's funny. If you go back and watch it now, I mean...
Not scary at all.
Yeah, the effects, the zombie stuff, it's pretty cheesy looking.
But still, for its time,
it's great. Time, and the style of the movie and the music and everything, the creepy music. I mean,
yeah,
you can see why it worked. Yeah, it was over the top with that gory stuff.
Top gore.
World War Z is the opposite. There's like no gore in that movie whatsoever.
Zombie movie with no gore.
Yeah, there's hardly any... hardly a drop of blood and maybe some black stuff. That's about it.
It's a PG 13 family zombie movie.
Bring the family.
Bring the grandma. She's going to appreciate this one. What's the number two movie, Drew?
Number two this week, we have The Heat. It had a weekend gross of $40 million. Total gross is the same. Budget of $43.
The Heat. All right. I saw this one. Drew, you didn't have a chance to see it?
I opted out.
Curtis, you know this one, The Heat? This is the Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy R-rated comedy.
It's a cop film, isn't it?
It is. It's a buddy. It's a buddy action cop.
I have not seen it.
It's totally that format from like that 80s format, like 48 Hours, Lethal Weapon, that type of deal. Mismatched, I should say.
Partners.
They're at each other's throats at the beginning, begrudgingly learn to like each other, and at the end, you know, they're buddies. They're
total
best friends.
Total respect.
Yeah. Oh, it's,
they come around.
That shit's predictable. But it's fun because it's two chicks. It's Sandra Bullock doing her, like, kind of a nerdy thing. You know, she doesn't even like the curse.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy is the complete opposite. She's like a total...
I like her, too.
And she's fun. Yeah. And she's fun in this. She's a total ball buster. Very, very foul mouth, which is very funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. I saw it with my brother. He liked it. I think he liked it a little more than I did. I actually saw it in a pretty packed theater. And there were some moments where people were just like laughing their asses off. They thought some stuff was really, really, really funny.
Not you so much, though.
No, not me so much. I could tell that it's a bit of a crowd pleaser, but right. For me, this is more of a like. I would have rather have seen this on Redbox or maybe on an airplane.
Yeah. HBO.
HBO. Yeah, on HBO is definitely because then you're not even paying for it. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, it's definitely an HBO-ish movie. But if you can't wait for some female comedy, Redbox. Dropped $1.20. It's not bad. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a little off. The storytelling is a little off. A little weak. Yeah, because they introduce some things, some elements that are supposed to lead up to bigger things, but they really don't. You can almost feel where they cut some stuff out and
right.
You know,
no continuity.
Yeah. It's kind of like some open threads, sort of, and they're trying to build up to character moments that really aren't there. I don't know. But no, in the end, overall, it still works pretty good.
Satisfied.
I thought it was. I wasn't perturbed or upset by it at all, or spending my time watching it. You know, it's the heat.
Right on.
It's all right. It does have an awesome... The opening credits are like an awesome 70s TV show style, very much like... The closing credits of Iron Man 3, which is like the same exact 70s style, like different panels and the monochromatic colors on top of everything and kind of making everything like a worn out look.
Right.
It's very, very weird, very interesting that they would both of those movies would do that this year. So the heat, it's all right. That's my quick review of that. I hope to have a review up on chriscrespo.com a little more in detail. On that one. And what's the number one movie?
Number one movie this week, we have Monsters University that had a weekend gross of $46.2 million for a total gross of $171.
Yeah.
Budget I don't have.
It's weird. The budget's not out there. Pixar movies cost about, these days, about $185 to $200 million.
Well, they almost made their money back then.
And they also made $129 million internationally so far.
So they've already made their money back.
So they're at $300 million. They made their production budget back. This one, you could figure it's probably $200 million, maybe even $215 million, because I read this article about how Pixar redid their whole lighting process for movies. They had someone come in, like a real cinematographer, and help them come up with a whole new lighting program. So instead of going into, like their shot, their scene, and putting in all the light individually,
right?
And then like, all right, this portion of the light's gonna hit this, and it's gonna bounce, and it's gonna create this
the
luminosity
shadow
on the shadow. They found a way instead to simulate just a light source, and then it hits everything in the shot. And then it automatically, like the physics is worked out, so that it bounces off properly, and then it's supposed to give Monsters University a very, very lifelike feel in terms of lighting and shadows, and it's actually supposed to look like the most sophisticated animated film yet ever made.
Okay.
Just based on the
lighting. I might end up going to that tonight instead of the Superman movie.
I would say go check out Man of Steel, but this one does have pretty good reviews for being a Pixar sequel as opposed to stuff like Up and Ratatouille and Wall-E.
Yeah.
I don't know. Monsters Inc. was one of my least favorite Pixar films, so this one I think I'm waiting for like HBO or actually. Should be on Netflix in a couple years because they have that deal with Disney.
With the Disney.
So I hope that includes Netflix stuff. It should. Fingers crossed.
Did they offer this in a 3D format as well?
I believe so. Yeah, anything that's going to be animated, they'll release in 3D. Because the 3D animation lends itself to the format. That's one area where seeing a movie in 3D is worthwhile.
Right.
Because the movie's already animated in 3D, so you just, it's not converting anything.
Right.
It just pops out automatically. It looks good. That's why you can even post-convert old stuff from the 90s. Like when they would do A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
When they released that every Halloween or every other Halloween in theaters and they put that in 3D, it looks great. It looks like it was meant to be seen in 3D because of the way it was shot. It's just, it's weird how that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that way. All right, so let's see. We got new movies coming out this week on DVD, but a bunch of them that looks like a bunch of crap that no one cares about.
it's awesome.
It's an interesting week. There's literally nothing that anyone wants to see.
Okay, awesome.
So we're going to skip that and just talk about what's coming out in theaters.
All right, in theaters this weekend, we have The Lone Ranger coming out.
Yep.
I am looking forward to this.
You and me both, sir.
Interested to see what this is all about. I don't know, because it's...
I just want to see how much CG they're going to use. Because this movie looks over the top.
It looks CG crazy, but I also read about how they did do a lot of practical stuff. A lot of actual horse riding. And I actually watched a video today about how some special effects company. They built these horse rigs. Like, it's on top of a horse, and it looks, like, very, very realistic. You put the actor on top of that, but at the bottom, it's just a bunch of, you know, whatever, and there's a lever, and some guy shaking the lever just out of frame, making the horse go back and forth. You know, it's very, very old school in that way.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It looks pretty good already. So I'm interested to see how they blend all those effects. I don't know, but the problem I'm already thinking is I just hope this movie's not overly convoluted and like how the Pirates of the Caribbean movies
became.
Ended up being. Like, the second and third one, they were just... So much story, so many characters. None of it really made any sense.
Right, right.
And I'm afraid, you know, it's the same people that wrote and directed that movie. And while I like those people and like what they do, their storytelling hasn't been the best.
Well, you know, one thing that I'm eager to find out is why Johnny Depp or Tonto is wearing all this clown makeup.
You know what?
I want to find out what in the storyline.
I don't know if they'll ever explain that, but I saw an article back when they debuted. Like, the first image they showed, the first promo image, was Johnny Depp with the whole face paint.
The war paint.
The bird on his head. And people were like, what the hell is crazy old Johnny Depp up to this time? But then I saw an article where they actually had a painting of an Indian, and that's apparently where he got his inspiration from, because that dude in this old painting has the exact same look, the stripes on his face, the bird on his head.
Yeah, but
so they took the look from some piece of art. Now, whether Johnny Depp brought that to the table or someone else did, who knows?
I don't doubt that that's what they did. I don't doubt
but
that.
But you wonder, does Tonto have a reason for it?
Well, not only that, that's like war paint. You usually put that stuff on.
Yeah.
For a day of war or a night of war, to freak out, you know, the other tribe or whatever. But all the trailers I've seen, he's wearing this all the time.
Maybe it's
he's in perpetual warfare.
So yeah, is he doing like makeup every morning when he wakes up in the out on the plains and then
he doesn't have a mirror.
Doesn't have a mirror.
Maybe he got a flask off someone that
he looks in the water for the reflection. But still, I mean, that seems like a lot of work
to do that. Maybe it's a spiritual shaman makeup instead of war paint. Maybe it's...
Well, that's what I'm thinking the angle is. Yeah. But still, why would you have to wear it all the time?
It seems like...
I mean, I'm sure Maybelline probably has some sort of,
Maybe he has a...
Product placement.
He has like a stencil outline that just holds up to his face, like she sprays it on.
Yeah, well, I guess these questions will be answered, right? When we see
hopefully.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be
there. I'm sure. Oh, well, I'm not sure if they're coming out on Wednesday, because it's 4th of July weekend. I think these movies are actually going to be coming out on the 3rd. So it's only a couple days away.
Yeah.
This will be out very soon. And what's the other movie coming out? I think on Wednesday.
Despicable Me 2.
Despicable Me 2. The sequel.
To Despicable Me.
To Despicable Me. Which was an okay movie.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's funny. It has its moments. It was weird how that movie came out around the same time as Megamind.
Mm-hmm.
And those are both animated films about villains as the lead character and
turning into heroes.
And eventually turning into heroes. Yeah, very, very weird how stuff like that happens. It's like the Armageddon Deep Impact of its time. The
White House on Olympus has fallen.
Exactly.
Just happened.
Exactly. Just happened. Much more Tommy reference. So those are the movies coming out for 4th of July weekend. They both look pretty interesting. We'll see how much money all that makes on top of Monsters University still making money. The Heat should make another $20 million next week. White House Down will make another $12 million probably. Man of Steel will make another $10 million. It's going to be a very busy 4th of July weekend. So I'm very interested to seeing how that all turns out. All right, so let's take a quick break.
Oh, before we do.
Before we do.
I just got a call from Sylvester Stallone on the set through a time machine of Cobra, and he wants his look back. So,
what I need is the matchstick.
Because
he's always chewing on the matchstick. Yeah. And I also need to lose about 150 pounds because he was ripped at that time. We're gonna take a quick break. Go into the Crespo Disco. I got a couple of songs here. They're both featured in the same movie, Bellflower. Right?
Nice. Great movie.
There's this movie. Do you have the Netflix Instant?
I do.
Oh, you should watch this movie.
There's a movie on there called Bellflower. It's like young 20-somethings and some young men. They meet a couple of girls. One of them gets into a relationship. They're good for a while, and then they go bad. It's kind of a relationship drama. Very low budget. But what sets it apart from other movies like it is a weird emphasis on Mad Max and the apocalypse and a crazy car called Mother Medusa that spits fire out the back and a homemade flamethrower.
Yeah.
It's a weird, weird movie, dude. I very highly recommend it. It's very, very good. Very well made. The movie's called Bellflower. So I got two songs here. One of them was on the actual soundtrack by a dude named Jonathan Keevil. The song's called Bracket Flower. And then the song after that is a Kate Bush cover, Running Up That Hill.
I know that song.
Yeah, it's covered by the Chromatics, which is featured in the movie, but it's not on the soundtrack. But I'm going to play it for you guys anyway. So enjoy. We'll be back on the other side with the Crespo Dome, where we got a lot of stuff to talk about, guys.
Hooray.
Plus, we're going to have Juicer Cogburn versus the World, where are going to take each other on in some movie trivia. The tables are being turned, Curtis.
Although I did bring some for you as well.
Oh, so it's a double table turning.
Oh, man. Dun, dun, dun.
Looking forward to that. And then I got questions off of Twitter. I got from listeners. We're going to do the lightning round. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. So we're taking a quick break. I'm going to get a new beer. You guys get new beers at home or whatever it is you're drinking. Freshen up, and we'll be right back.
This is Richard Cogburn. I believe in leprechauns.
Be running up that road.
Welcome back to the second half of episode 25 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, with Drusa Cogburn. Drew.
What up?
And Curtis Earth. How's it going, Curtis?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for hanging out, man. We really appreciate it. We're having a good time, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm loving this, actually.
Good, I'm
hoping this is a four-hour show, but I know it's not.
No, the people can only take so much Crespo Diso.
Well, you know,
if we wanted to, we could do a four-hour show, but people only listen to about the first 30 minutes.
You know, Chris,
yeah.
I'm kind of a trivia buff.
So I've heard.
Yeah, I did a little research on your name.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit of Google searching?
It comes from the Italian surname Crespi.
Okay.
Which comes from the Latin meaning Crispus.
All right.
And Crispus, do you know what that adjective Crispus means?
No.
I'll tell you.
Corpse-like?
No.
Corpus Christi?
Curly or wavy hair.
Ah, look at that. There you
right?
go.
Yeah.
There you
the
go.
Name frequently appears in the area around Naples and also in eastern Sicily.
Wow.
Sicily.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
And
there you go. So I know I have on my mom's side of the family, there's if you go back a few generations, it gets to Spain.
Right.
That's where we came over from. So I'm sure those Italianos eventually made their way over to Spain sometime a long time ago. And
yeah. In fact, I looked up famous people with Crespo as a last name.
Like surname. Elvis Crespo?
Elvis Crespo.
He's got to be the most famous, I think.
Well, there's a Jimmy Crespo, a guitarist. In music circles, people know him.
Okay,
well.
Okay.
There's also a Diane, I think her name is, Crespo, mm-hmm. who is a film maker.
Oh, all right.
Makes documentaries and so forth.
Very nice.
But the first Crespo
yeah.
that's on the record books for...
for doing anything.
For coming to America.
Okay.
Was Julian Crespo.
All right.
In 18... I believe it was 1823...
Mm-hmm.
He's on the record books of settling in New Orleans.
Oh,
snap. And then some more of his family came over.
Uh-huh.
You see in the years following, and they registered New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
But then after that, almost all of the Crespos that made any notoriety were from South America.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a couple of soccer players and so forth.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. Right. Well, there you go. The etymology and history and origins of Crespo.
Crespo.
Thanks, Curtis. I appreciate that, man.
You're welcome, Curly.
Love you. Yeah. Yeah, I got that hair going. I do love your last name. Earth is a great last name.
It's Old English from dirt, actually.
Yeah.
It's Orth, E-O-R-T-H-E.
And then they
Americanized it.
I definitely like the American version better.
Yeah, but I am English mm-hmm. on my dad's side and Italian on my mom's side.
Okay.
And on my mom's side, her parents are from Sicily and Naples, so they must have rubbed up against some Crespos at some point.
They must have partied down at some point, asked each other a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Hit each other with a bunch of trivia. Speaking of trivia, I would like to let people know about what you do, the Curtis Earth trivia. Let them know up front. It's a game that you developed. How long have you been doing Curtis Earth Trivia for?
This is my 20th year.
Wow.
I started in 1993.
Wow.
In Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Nice. And, Amish country.
In the Amish country.
Yeah.
And it was a good place, excuse me, to start out because there wasn't a lot going on. Excuse me. I got a frog in my throat. A lot going on in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And,
a lot of horse and buggy races.
And certainly... there weren't any other trivia shows.
Yeah. So you found a gap there.
I found a niche.
Yes, a niche.
And and so I started up, and then I moved here to Florida in 2002.
Okay.
And
and you brought the earth with you.
I brought the earth with me, and so I had already it became a full-time job after about 8 years in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
But and then I moved here. And I just dug in deep. Now we're in over 35 restaurants.
Crazy.
I have 10 hosts that I've trained personally. I supply with the questions.
Nice.
And
that's a lot of questions, man.
Yeah.
In multiple states?
Yeah, we're in. We're still in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Also, our newest market is Washington D.C. We have three restaurants there,
mm-hmm.
and then through Central Florida here.
So what is it? CurtisEarth.com, Curtis Earth Trivia.
Yeah, EarthTrivia.com.
EarthTrivia.com. I knew it. Sort of knew it.
Yeah.
EarthTrivia.com also on Facebook. I know you're on Facebook. You just do a search for Curtis Earth on the Facebook. You're not on Twitter, are you?
I'm not. I'm probably the last guy in our circle of
Twitter's fun,
influence
man.
Sets.
I got this guy
on Twitter. Yeah, he fell in.
He hated eventually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And I think he's
I
still
succumbed to the peer
it,
pressure. But, I do. I still kind of hate it, but whatever.
But he's in it. He's in it.
I'm
now.
There. I do
just
it.
Can't apply any more time to any more social media.
It is more time.
It's more time.
Yeah.
But, more time and more effort. But I think I enjoy Twitter the most of all the social medias, the media. Instagram's coming up too, though. That's always a lot of fun.
You know, though, Chris, earlier in my life, mm-hmm. I was a movie reviewer.
Were you?
I was on my high school radio station,
yeah,
WXBA, Brentwood, New York, uh-huh. Long Island. And, you know, I wanted to go to the movies for free because I love going to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I had like a little show, and then I said, you know, we should have a movie review on this station.
There you go.
So they're like, all right, well, you set it up and whatever. So I went to the movie where I saw movie house where I saw the zombie movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I just said, hey, look, you're going to get free advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come here every week and review a movie
mm-hmm.
and put it. And they would play it every hour around the clock
nice.
On the high school radio station.
Nice.
And I remember the first movie I reviewed was Ordinary People with Timothy Hutton.
Oh, wow.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Oscar-winning film, Ordinary
yeah,
People.
That
yeah.
was the first thing.
Did you pan it?
No, I liked it. Okay. I liked it very much. I think Spy Who Loved Me was the next one. I can't remember.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Ordinary People, now infamous for being the movie that beat Raging Bull for the Oscar that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people feel maybe a bit unjust.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Raging Bull.
Raging Bull was...
It's the Raging Bull.
Yeah.
So you got movie critic pass for our old Curtis Earth. That's awesome. That's why you belong here, man, on the show, hanging out with us talking movies. So also plugs, Drew, Twitter, got antihero419.
Yep, same on Instagram.
Please, people, follow him. Same on Instagram, any social media, Xbox Live, antihero419 is Drew. And our show is at Chris Verdiso.
And oh, there we go. Man.
Hear
here
that
we
sound,
go.
Curtis?
I hear it.
It's time for some Drewster Cogburn versus the world.
Oh, man.
Just got to dig out my game here.
Going up against the master of trivia over here.
I'll tell you.
This is going to be terrible.
I'll tell you, Drew, since I mean,
I'm going to get stumped.
I'll tell you, Curtis, ever since I told Drew that you were going to be a guest and he was going to have to do Drewster Cogburn versus the world, he's been shitting his pants ever since. But to be
you
honest.
You have nothing
though,
to worry about, Drew. Trust me.
To be honest, every week, every game is different. And the way I set up these games, it's almost a matter of luck.
Right.
More than anything
and
else.
Drew writes this, right?
Drew writes him. He goes through all the answers. Complete opposite, actually.
I have
Drew
no
has
idea
no
what's
idea.
Going on.
Okay. Hermetically sealed.
What does that say?
Yeah.
Confidential.
Confidential. it's all folded up.
Wax embossment on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to open it up now. This week's Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Curtis Earth, representing the world. Name of this game is very simple. Name the director. I will give you three movies, and you tell me who directed them. For example, if I say Jaws, E.T., Schindler's List, you would say?
Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Now, who do we go, me, and then you?
What I do is I have two sets of five. Drew lost last week.
Correct.
So you get to go first, because I do winners outs, and the world won last week. So I have two sets of five. I have set A and set B. Which one do you want, A or B?
Set B.
Okay, so I'm going to give you, we're going to go through all five right now, and then Drew will get to do set A, okay?
All right, do I answer correct right away, I mean, or do I
wait
to the end?
I'll give you, we'll do them one at a time.
Okay.
Okay, so the first set of movies, I'm going to give you these three movies, please tell me who directed them. Bound, Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlas, pretty recent, came out last year.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan's incorrect. That was the Wachowski siblings. The Wachowskis. Geez.
They used to be brothers.
I'm not. Yeah. They used to be brothers. Now they're siblings. You know, surgery can do that for you. I'll tell you guys now, it's not going to be as easy as Jaws, E.T., Schindler's List.
Yeah, you let us
obviously.
Down the wrong path.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously.
The directors are going to be pretty obvious, but
the movies are going to be kind of out there.
I'm trying to trip you up just a little bit here. All right, number two, Curtis. Your movies are Bamboozled, Inside Man, and Crooklyn.
Oh, Spike Lee.
That is correct. Very good. Very good. Number three. This one's. I think this one might be a little tricky. The Devil's Backbone, Mimic, Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, I have to say something. I have no idea. Give me those one more time.
The Devil's Backbone.
Yeah.
Mimic. Pan's Labyrinth. Do you remember Mimic? I think that was Mira Sorvino. We were talking about Sorvino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mira Sorvino, yeah. Giant cockroaches in a sewer or something like that.
Like giant cockroaches.
Yes, like huge.
Like 6 foot.
Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Labyrinto del Fano.
Huh?
El Labyrinto del Fano.
Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth.
I don't know. I'm going to say Buzzy Wilson.
Buzzy Wilson is close, but not correct. Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro also has Pacific Rim coming up now. The Hellboy movies. Hellboy, would that have given it away at all, you think? Did you see Hellboy?
No, I didn't.
With Ron Perlman. That's fun. All right, number four. So far, you have one right and two wrong. Number four, Barton Fink, Hudsucker Proxy, Intolerable Cruelty.
These are all movies I saw.
Yeah, and they're all made by the same director. Barton Fink, The Hudsucker Proxy.
And you know all these, don't you?
No, I do know this one, though. I know this one. If I would have picked this round, I would be doing better than you, definitely.
Okay.
which makes me a little afraid for the next one, because that means the other list is probably harder.
Robert Zemeckis.
Robert Zemeckis. Oh, good guess, but that's incorrect. The Coen brothers.
Oh, those brothers.
Those brothers. And they are still brothers. No surgery required. Number five. Here you go. Your last set of movies. Oh, boy.
Chris. I'm already on the ledge. I'm about to jump.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris. Here we go. Dead Alive, Heavenly Creatures, The Lovely Bones.
Oh, I think that was a woman.
Those three are Dead Alive, Heavenly Creatures, and The Lovely Bones.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of it.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing. So you give up?
I gotta throw something out there. I hate when people give me an answer sheet back with no answer.
Hey, I'm guilty of that. There's a couple times where I'm just like,
I don't know what this is.
You just write your mother.
Can't even think of a good joke answer. Hey, give me a good. You already gave me one joke answer. Buzzy Wilson. He's a good director. Buzzy Wilson.
That was an alter ego of mine.
Of course, Chris.
All
right. It's what if I gave you some other movies? Lord of the Rings trilogy, King Kong.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
Oh, yeah. See, why didn't you give me those movies?
That would have been too easy.
We got it right away,
this
buddy.
This was like Crespo hard.
All right, so Curtis, you got one right out of four.
All right, I don't mind winning by one.
Oh, man. It might happen.
Crazier things have happened. And I also have a tiebreaker here just in case, so we'll see if we need it.
All right.
All right, Drew, here are your set of movies. First set, Out of Sight, Aaron Brockovich, Magic Mike.
Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh is correct.
Oh, you could just say the last name?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Unless there's multiple Soderberghs out there. I will ask you to be specific.
I don't know any more Soderberghs.
Yeah, so we're good on that one.
I know his first name's Steven.
We're already tied up.
A Buzzy Soderbergh that I remember. Steven, I bought a bike from.
Steven Buzzy Soderbergh is his full name, actually. Here we go. Number two.
We're tied.
You are tied already. The music just stopped. Alien 3, Panic Room, Zodiac.
Oh man. I've seen Zodiac so many times. Why am I blanking on his name?
Alien Cubed, Panic Room, Zodiac.
I smell fear. Stanks.
A lot of thinking noise.
I got nothing.
He's got nothing.
I got nothing.
Those are David Fincher movies.
Oh!
David Fincher. All right, here we go. Number three. Piranha 2, The Spawning, The Abyss, and True Lies.
Piranha
Drew's thinking. Smoke coming out of his ears. Gears are grinding.
Yeah, no.
Nothing. Nothing. You got that
I mean,
wrong.
I could throw out a random director, but it's not going to be right.
Well, go ahead and try.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
No, Bruckheimer is incorrect. He's a producer. What if I told you...
See, and there we go.
What if I told you The Terminator, Avatar, Titanic,
Cameron.
James Cameron, director of Piranha 2, The Abyss of Lies.
Yeah.
All right, number four. This one, I don't know, man. Might end up being tied. Number four, Hard-Boiled. Drew just made a face like, what the hell is that? Hard-Boiled, Face-Off, Hard Target. Hard-Boiled, Face-Off, and Hard Target. Hard Target.
I got nothing.
Nothing. You never want to throw one out.
Nope.
John Woo.
Yeah, I would have never got John that.
John Woo. You never got John Woo?
Never got John
Woo. Great John Woo. All right, here we go. Here's your last one.
Oh,
number five.
Man, this is brutal.
The King of Comedy, The Last Temptation of Christ, The Color of Money. All of them does something. The King of Comedy, The Color of Money, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Not going to happen.
Nothing?
Nope.
Wow. Curtis wants to answer.
That's fine.
It won't count, but Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese is correct.
There we go.
All right. So you both went one for four.
I would have done so much better with the other list.
Would you have?
Yes.
Well, that's what happens when you get to pick the random list ahead of time, and now we got a
tiebreaker.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know, right?
We got to use a tiebreaker here. I'm bringing it back to Steven Spielberg. Spielberg made 27 movies, theatrically released movies in his career so far, already come out. I want you guys to give me the total U.S. gross. Closest to the pin. And you're allowed to go over, but we're doing closest to the pin. Total U.S. gross. All of Spielberg's 27 movies combined. U.S. domestic box office only. Curtis, please give me your answer first. Doing some quick math.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to say... $6 billion.
Okay. And Drucifer?
I'm going to say closer to $2 billion.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Who would be closest? Well, looks like, by $1.55 million. Curtis is closer. The correct answer is $4.155 billion.
Yeah. Yes!
Steven Spielberg, 27 movies, $4.155 billion in total U.S. domestic gross. That makes for an average of $153 million per movie. Congratulations, Curtis. You win this
round. Thank you.
Congratulations, sir. Good job.
I didn't see this coming.
Man, that was brutal.
I should have prepared a speech.
That was brutal.
And that puts you, Drew, at...
Four and four.
Back to 500 for Drew. Four and one.
Yeah.
Please let history record that I have won this.
It's this event. It's going down.
It is.
It's Crespo Invitational.
And then what you got is you have to remember when we have you back on in the future, you know, your own little personal one-on-one.
Exactly.
Yeah, we now have a rivalry.
Yes, you do.
So let me see. That's four losses. You lost to DJ Baby Black was the first one.
Yes.
And then Soul Brother Kevin.
Yes. And then Pedro.
Tom the beer guy and then Pedro.
No, I tied with Tom.
You tied with Tom. That's the tie.
Yeah, that was the one where you didn't have a tiebreaker.
And then Pedro.
And then Pedro I lost.
And then you lost the Curtis.
Lost the Curtis.
Did anyone ever win in this kind of pot boiler steam boiler room?
We've had a couple.
Closest to the pin.
It's come to a tiebreaker once or twice.
Yeah.
And
I'm in good company, though.
They've been close.
You're in great company.
He was rocking and rolling, all cocky and confident.
And then I got
DJ Baby Light came in here.
Smacked me around.
Good times. All right, so there you go. Thanks a lot for that, Curtis. I got some movie news to talk about real quick.
All right.
We were talking about Pixar earlier. Monsters University came out, another one of their sequels. They've gone sequel crazy lately with Cars 2.
Yes.
Monsters University.
Yep.
They have Finding Nemo 2 coming out, Finding Dory. But, you know, they've been taking some heat for that because they've been known for making original movies, really good stuff like Up and WALL-E and, you know, going back all the way to the original Toy Story. So they came out and put out a press release saying that they're going to go back to putting an emphasis on original films.
All right.
So they're going to go back to putting out an original movie every year. And then they'll do a sequel like every 2 or 3 years concurrently.
Okay.
So there'll be some years where you're getting 2 Pixar movies, one whole original one, and then a sequel to something.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, how do you feel about that?
I'm very happy about that.
But how do you feel that they made their decision based on
peer pressure?
You know, the peer pressure.
I think they just saw. They saw that. For a while,
they agreed with it.
Yeah. They knew. They could see what was happening. They weren't stupid.
Resting on our laurels.
For years, they put out movie after movie after movie where the reviews were fantastic and they made a ton of money. And Pixar is heralded as like one of the best storytelling places in the world, let alone just animation.
And they are.
And then they had that run of sequels, and it seems like especially something like Cars 2 feels like a cash grab with all the merchandising and everything.
Right.
So people get a little more cynical with that, and the reviews weren't so hot. And Pixar, they like being the guys who, like, we make great, great movies for everyone, you know? So I can understand why they're doing this. I don't see it so much as peer pressure, it's just, you know, course correction.
Yeah. You know, America, the U.S., I should say.
Yeah.
You know, we do get a bum rep, and rightly so, that we don't make things anymore. We kind of outsource, but we still make great movies.
Absolutely. That's still
cutting edge.
Still number one in the world. Absolutely. So, you know, I think that's good news. And then, speaking of sequels, I think this is our third week in a row of Terminator 5 news.
Oh, man.
This is now your new home for Terminator 5 news. Cinema Crispy. They just put out a press release. The companies that got together, Skydance Pictures, Annapurna Pictures, and Paramount got together, put out a press release announcing that Terminator 5 is actually going to be a reboot. They're rebooting Terminator. And it's going to be its own standalone trilogy is what they're doing. Now, Terminator Salvation that came out a few years ago with Christian Bale, that was supposed to be its own standalone trilogy as well. And they're not obviously going that route because they didn't make enough money to justify it. So we'll see what happens with this one. Now, they do have Schwarzenegger.
And oh, do they?
They have him, and it's going to be a big role. It's not like a little throwaway thing or a cameo.
Yeah, a cameo.
So that's a big deal. We'll see how that works out. Then again, he is like 80 years old.
Is he going to play old John Connor? That would be really stupid.
That would be really stupid. No, he's going to play an older version of a T-800. I don't know how they're going to do
that. I guess they age.
Do they? Yeah, their skin, it breaks down. I don't know. They're going to have to explain that. Or just CG.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? But with the news of that, it comes out July 16th, 2015. That's what also they announced, the release date. The summer 2015 movie lineup is pretty crazy. All right, guys, listen to all these movies coming out in 2015. You got the new Fantastic Four, which is directed by the guy that did Chronicle. Remember Chronicle? Did you ever see that one? It's a found footage movie about some teenagers that gain superpowers.
By touching some alien stuff.
By touching alien stuff, and then they learn to fly and move things with their mind and develop.
That sounds like a great story.
It's a really, really good movie. I highly recommend that one.
That
came out last year, Chronicle.
I'm pretty sure you can get it at the Redbox.
And based on that movie, that guy got Fantastic Four. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Let's see what else is coming out. Avengers 2, 2015. That's going to be a big deal. Man of Steel 2. They want that to come out 2015. Independence Day 2, 2015. Pirates of the Caribbean 5. The already aforementioned Finding Nemo sequel, Finding Dory, is coming out. Star Wars 7 is coming out. Jurassic Park 4.
Oh, man.
Mission Impossible 5.
What?
Prometheus 2.
Oh.
By then, we'll already be at Hunger Games 4.
What?
Edgar Wright's Ant-Man is supposed to come out that year.
Wow. They're digging deep into the Marvel catalog.
They've been trying to make Ant-Man for a while, actually. And maybe it's been scheduled for a while, but you never know with James Cameron. Avatar 2 is supposed to come out 2015. That'll probably be Christmas 2015, but still.
In a year and a half, movies are going to be crazy.
That's 1 year worth of movies, and it's going to be sequel blockbuster crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of interested in that. Kind of looking forward to
it. You know, with all of the blockbuster and, you know...
And blackbusters.
And blackbusters.
Blackbusters and blaxploitation or whatever. No, but with all these, you
Speaking
know,
of
CGI...
Actually, one side note. On the Netflix the other day, I saw a great blaxploitation film.
What?
Blackenstein?
Blackenstein.
That came out after Blackula, I remember.
Oh, was it? In the 70s horror blaxploitation craze?
I've never seen that before.
I've never heard of Blackenstein. I've heard of Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream, and all that stuff.
Blackenstein, dude.
What I want is Dracula versus Blackula. Versus Ooh. Black Dracula. starring Scott Bakula. That'd be awesome.
Follow these two crazy kids as they rival and find Dory.
I'm sorry, you were saying, Curtis, about blockbusters these days?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm the only one who feels this way, but You know, with all these blockbuster and, yeah. and you know, your senses are so stimulated when you go and it's loud.
So
and
much going on.
You can't believe the wonder. And I still love, even more now, probably, you know, story and dialogue driven movies.
Yeah,
movies
100%.
Yeah, you know, like just a really good story, well acted, you know, shot, you know.
Simply, it's not over the top with CG. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that.
Do you ever see a movie called Pieces of April with Katie Holmes?
No, did not see that.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's a kind of about Thanksgiving.
And, oh, you know, there's not that many Thanksgiving movies, actually.
Like, yeah, but it's not like a... Like you don't even know it's going to be a Thanksgiving movie, but that's part of the story.
It's when it takes
but
place.
It's not a comedy. More or less, it's a drama, you know. Uh-huh. But she did really well in that. And this is after she was in... I think she was in Batman already and some other things.
Yeah.
And so the budget for this film couldn't have been... it was one of those labor of love things.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But she does so well in this movie.
Shia LaBeouf is going that route. After all the Transformers stuff, he had such a bad experience on those huge budget movies.
Right.
That he kind of disavowed them now. And he's like, I want to do just smaller character-driven, like... more daring movies that aren't huge productions. Well, and obviously now that Transformers made him a millionaire, he can choose to do things like that.
Yes. And I think that's cool on a couple of levels. But one, he's got the money already.
Exactly.
And instead of going after the big money again and again and again, he's got enough to survive on.
And he can pursue his artistic.
But also making that statement, you know, he's going to have to step up to the plate if he's going to take a daring... We were talking about Raging Bull earlier.
Right.
You mentioned the King of Comedy. I think of Robert De Niro.
Yeah, yeah. He went for it.
Yeah, he really went for it and accomplished it. You know, absolutely. So you have to be a certain, level caliber of actor.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
if you get these parts to really deliver.
And I like Shia LaBeouf. I've never not liked him, but I don't know if he has, you know, if he is that caliber. You know, it's going to take him a while.
Is he that guy?
I don't think he's
I don't think I've seen him in anything yet.
Outside like Transformers stuff?
Yeah, well, he was some a movie called Holes, I think.
I saw that when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, that was actually pretty good.
He was pretty good in that. Yeah, so there's potential there.
Yeah, definitely potential for him. His next movie coming out is a Lars von Trier film called Nymphomaniac, where von Trier wanted to make a movie, because he's all about pushing the envelope and doing daring stuff. He wanted to see how daring Shia would get. This movie, Nymphomaniac, is all about trying to see how much sex he can put into a movie and how hardcore he can make the sex. So it has a lot of actors. And then the way he's doing it is apparently the actors are going to simulate sex scenes, and then he's going to cut to like body doubles actually having sex, but he's going to show real on-screen sex, you know, but he doesn't want it to be a porn. He's trying to make like an actual movie out of it, you know. He's trying to push that boundary. So Shia is going to be in that with a whole bunch of other...
Now, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's needed? Like, it's not that I like, you know, skin on screen as much as the next guy, but I guess what I'm saying is...
It's got to be justified.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like exactly. It has to be appropriate. You can't just have it on screen for the sake of, you know, titties for the sake of titties. I mean, yeah, that's all well and good, but, you know, if you actually want it to, if you're trying to push that envelope and still make it quote-unquote film and not just, you know... a movie or a porno, then there needs to be a reason for it. It needs to be justifiable.
I think of all those James Bond films where they were titillating and, you know, they...
Bond girl.
You know what I'm saying?
Always like the Bond girl.
Yeah, and they were... But you never saw the Bond girl full frontal.
No.
I don't even think you saw breasts in most of them.
Yeah, no.
And often they would go, you know, it'd be, you know, they'd come from the casino or the bar, go into his cabin room, and the next day, they're both wearing bathrobes.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's drinking tea, and you knew what went down, and your own mind filled it all in.
It's implied.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have to see it.
I'm not trying to sound like a prude or anything. I'm just saying, like...
But I agree.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It has to be justified. There has to be a reason. It's one thing to just set a scene in a movie in a strip club, so you can see a bunch of naked people. And that's another thing to make a movie about a stripper and then showing her working and, you know.
Right.
Because then it's in context. The nudity, it plays to the character as opposed to just being titties in the background.
Right.
You know. We'll see. We'll see what Lars von Trier does with this Nymphomaniac movie. I'd be surprised if it gets any sort of like wide theatrical release
here. Yeah, probably not.
It's going to be a video on demand. People will stumble across it on Redbox, that type of thing. Maybe. Yeah. I don't even know if Redbox will have it. I don't know. That's kind of crazy. If you want to, real quick, out there, go online and check out. They released some pictures for Darren Aronofsky's Noah.
Oh, man.
Tell me about this.
Darren Aronofsky, guy who made Requiem for a Dream, the wrestler, Black Swan most recently, he's making his long dreamed about biblical epic. He's doing the Noah story, and it's a huge budget, like $100 million budget film. Russell Crowe is Noah. Anthony Hopkins is Methuselah, world's oldest man. Jennifer Connelly is in it. And Ray Winstone is some sort of villain, bad guy. I don't know who the villain is. There's no villain in the Noah story. So already it's going to be different, you know. What's interesting about the production, obviously the movie's about a big flood, right? They shot the movie in New York, in Oyster Bay, New York. I know Oyster Bay well. And they had two ARC sets built, one inside a soundstage and then one actually in Oyster Bay. That it's not seaworthy, but it's there on the water so that they could film stuff on the water.
Right.
They had to dismantle huge parts of that one that was on Oyster Bay because Superstorm Sandy...
Wow.
Went up there and hit, and it flooded everything up there. So the irony of the Noah movie set
and being flooded.
Flood. Yeah. God was I don't know about you guys making this movie, man.
Yeah. Wasn't Jim Caviezel struck by lightning while making Passion of the Christ?
Yeah, something happened to him during Passion. Yeah, I heard about that.
That's weird stuff.
You don't mess with the Almighty. Don't mess with him. So there's pictures out there of some character photos of from Noah. You can go out and do a Google search, Noah photos, and they come up. But it's very they're interesting looking. They're all close-ups of just the characters, but the way of the texture of the photos and what they're wearing, it looks like cutscenes from Lord of the Rings or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's I'm very interested in seeing like the first trailers and stuff.
Yes, certainly.
For Noah.
Hey, can I just, while we're talking about Noah really quick.
Yeah.
My question is, when I was growing up, they kept talking about, it would always be the Leonard Nimoy In Search of Noah's Ark. They would always talk about this ark wood found on Mount Ararat in
right.
Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all of our carbon dating and all of our ways to tell, if the caveman they just found had a toothache when he died, they can tell all this
they
stuff.
They can tell how people... How come
they can't... Isn't it worth checking out this gopher wood?
Verify it.
Actually, the way that radiocarbon dating works is they don't actually radiocarbon date the actual thing.
Right.
What they're carbon dating is the dirt and the stuff found around it. Now this thing on Mount Ararat that you're talking about has been exposed for so long that they can't get a radiocarbon dating on it. Because there's nothing, quote-unquote, around it.
It's not encased in something.
No.
So
that makes sense. Exactly.
There's
that's why they can't get a date on it.
A pair of squirrels mummified under it.
Forever a mystery, Chris.
And it makes no difference. I mean, radiocarbon dating is off by, anywhere from 10 to 100,000 years anyway.
And, I mean, just go by the Bible. It gives you a timeline.
Yeah,
the world is 10,000 years old. So,
the universe was created in 7 days. I mean, come on.
Got it all figured out.
Yeah.
It's all right there. Okay, I got some questions from people on Twitter. If you have a question for a show, you can email to us, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. This one comes from Twitter user @snacks1999. He says, Johnny B. Goode, second or third most underrated comedy ever. Discuss. Johnny B. Goode. Do you guys remember this one?
Is this the one with Michael J. Fox?
No.
Wait, what am I looking
at? Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall, yes.
He's like a high school football prospect. Robert Downey Jr. is his buddy. Uma Thurman's his girlfriend. He has to decide whether he's going to be go to a big school and like become a big football star or go to the local school and stay with his girlfriend.
I remember it coming out, but I
didn't see it. It's a pretty forgettable movie. I don't think there's anything... Second or third most underappreciated comedy? Nah.
There's a lot more underappreciated comedies than that.
I think this movie is underappreciated for a reason. It deserves to be pretty...
Take that at snaps.
It's pretty forgettable. But we could talk about movies that we do think are underappreciated comedies. I do have one that I love, and I don't feel like enough people know about it. Brain Donors.
Don't know about it.
You don't know about it?
I'm going to write that one down, too.
It's from the early 90s, and it's actually a... kind of a take on the Groucho, on the Marx Brothers movies.
Right.
It's actually a very loose remake of A Night at the Opera, I think it's, or A Day at the Opera. I think the movie's called A Day at the Opera, and then the Queen album is called A Night at the Opera. A Day at the Opera, and it's John Turturro plays the Groucho Marx type character, and then there's another guy who's mostly silent, and a third guy who's bawdy, Mel Smith, the English guy. And it's just, it's very Marxy, a lot of very, very quick jokes. Yeah. You know, at one point he tells the guy, like, they're sitting outside and then he's arguing with some dude. And he's like, let's go outside and settle this like men. And the guy says, we are outside. And he goes, all right, let's go inside and settle this like women. You know? It's like really, really fast stuff like yeah. that. And I really, really enjoy it. It's, you know, it's a cheesy movie, but it's really, really short, really quick.
Yeah.
Brain Donor is definitely one I would recommend. I think that's one of the most underappreciated comedies out there. Can you think of anything?
I don't know.
That you would like people to see?
Not really. Not underappreciated comedies.
You're not the biggest comedy fan, Drew, are you?
I mean, I am, but I don't really... I don't know. There are a lot of really bad comedy movies.
I don't know if this is underappreciated. It's only appreciated in my house, but Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I feel like more people should be watching that these days.
Yeah, like a lot of those Christopher Guest movies. Oh, well, so that good. One was a Rob Reiner movie, but I mean...
But it's still the Christopher Guest style.
Right, and then his movies that came out after that, like...
Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Show. Best in Show. I mean,
Best in Show is really
had
funny.
Me cracking
yeah.
up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, Best in Show. It's like they show it on Comedy Central every few months because it's so good. Now he has a show on HBO, this Family Tree show. It's like a Christopher Guest movie, but split up into half hour segments.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's really, really good.
I really like their comedy, and I submit that it might be underappreciated because I'll mention it to someone, and I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
It's the movie is over 30 years old. I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's from the late 70s, right?
Maybe no, early 80s? Best in Show?
No, Spinal Tap. This
is Spinal Tap. No, that came out in 83.
Yeah, that's...
Because I remember
so
I...
It's 30 years old.
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy. Actually, this is a true story. Mm-hmm. I was in college when that movie came out, and I was dating a girl who was like in 12th grade in high school, and I went to her prom, and her prom was so bad... That it was just horrible, and I had moved here from Long Island. This is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, anyway, long story short, I said, "Are you having a good time?" She goes, "Oh, it's all right." I go, "The movie theater next door is playing The Man with Two Brains and Spinal Tap.
Nice.
Why don't we go there and watch it?" We went in a tuxedo and gown and watched two movies that night.
That's
awesome.
Nice. I approve.
Yeah,
I approve of that. Good job. That's a good double feature too.
Yeah,
Man with Two Brains. That's a little bit of an underappreciated comedy classic. Some Steve Martin.
Back in bowl.
Can't go wrong with that 80s Steve Martin. At jhigh87 wants our thoughts on Jim Carrey's comments on Kick-Ass 2. So I'm gonna pull up this article here that I already have. Last week, you remember Drew?
Pedro Lima was talking about it.
We had our guest on, Pedro Lima, stand-up comedian. And we're talking about Jim Carrey being in Kick-Ass 2. And Pedro's like, Carrey better not be coming out about gun violence. He's doing this movie and he was talking hard about gun violence recently. He was like taking umbrage with that. And it's like Jim Carrey heard in the ether that Pedro Lima was pissed.
Yeah.
Because this whole, he put out a thing that day, Sunday afternoon, he put out a thing on the internet. And here is an article called Jim Carrey Disowns New Flick Cannot Support Gun Violence. I'll try to go through this pretty quickly. Blah, 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 blah. Kick-Ass 2 due to open in North American theaters August 16th. Blah, 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 blah. Carrey posted a message on his Twitter account stating, "I did Kick-Ass a month before Sandy Hook, and now in all good conscience, I cannot support that level of violence." A follow-up tweet read, "My apologies to others involved with the film. I am not ashamed of it, but recent events have caused a change in my heart. Kick-Ass 2, Carrey plays the malevolent Colonel Stars and Stripes, one of a handful of self-styled superheroes." And then it goes into about how, since the whole Sandy Hook thing in December, the school shooting, he's been pretty hardcore on the gun control and saying, you know, movie violence and video game violence is, like, bad for kids, blah, blah. He's coming down on that side of the argument. And then Mark Miller, the guy behind Kick-Ass, the comic book, he did a nice long little post on his website addressing Carrey's comments. And they have an excerpt here. I think it's pretty interesting. He says, this is Mark Miller, "Jim is a passionate advocate of gun control, and I respect both his politics and his opinion, but I'm baffled by the sudden announcement as nothing seen in this picture wasn't in the screenplay 18 months ago. Kick-Ass avoids the usual bloodless body count of most big summer pictures and focuses instead on the consequences of violence, whether it's the ramifications for friends and family or, as we saw in the first movie, Kick-Ass spending 6 months in the hospital after his first street altercation. Ironically, Jim's character in Kick-Ass 2 is a born-again Christian, and the big deal we made of the fact that he refuses to fire a gun is something he told us attracted him to the role in the first place." So apparently the character doesn't shoot a gun in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's
but
why.
I'm sure some characters do.
I'm sure there's tons of gun violence. Did you see the first Kick-Ass movie?
No, but
it's over the top.
I think he's talking about the movie as a whole, not his character.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But then this guy argues, well, all that stuff was in the screenplay. We didn't change
anything.
Yeah,
but Sandy Hook didn't happen. So
18 months ago.
That's Jim Carrey's argument, yeah. So I don't know. It's very interesting. I don't believe that movie violence and video game violence spurs on violence.
Neither do I.
There's plenty of people out there who don't see movies like that and do horrible things, and then there are people who do watch violent movies, and they're
I think watching the news
pleasant.
Is a bombardment of gun violence, and
oh, yeah,
in Orlando.
Definitely.
I mean, just last week, I couldn't get away from looking at Trayvon Martin's dead body on television. You know, that's a violent, terrible image. Or Zimmerman's busted up face and bloody nose and bloody head. That's real world gore and violence. It's not movie magic. That's
you can't say to your kids, that didn't really happen.
That's really the dude's blood on his face. So that is a good point. The news is even more, could be even more culpable. But I don't know about that. I mean, there's insane violence in this world before there's been visual media like
this.
Oh,
good Lord.
After the great economic and worldwide industrial collapse and
there will be
and
even
TV
more unspeakable
anymore,
violence.
Violence is still going to exist. I mean, it's an unfortunate part of
humanity. It's part of the human condition.
But hey, you know, Jim Carrey, he has his beliefs. I'm not going to argue against him. If he wants to, you know, be all about gun control.
Good for him.
It'll probably bring more people to the movie.
Well, it'll actually bring more attention to it.
Yeah.
Apparently he's really good in it too. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing him in as well.
Yeah, so we'll see. There you go. Jim Carrey disowns his own new movie. We got a question from official show correspondent Billy D.
Billy D up in
Billy
Brooklyn.
D up in Brooklyn, Bushwick Bill. This is episode 25, so this is question 25 from our friend Billy. And he wants to do tonight in the Crespo Dome. We got a Crespo Dome battle.
All right.
We do this every now and then. We'll get a suggestion, a couple of actors or something along those lines. We'll put them in the Crespo Dome, and they battle either as actors, who's the better actor or actress, and then in an actual fight, who would win.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So two-pronged Crespo Dome battle.
All right.
All right, who do we got?
Tonight's combatants are Kurt Russell's beard from The Thing.
Oh, wow.
Versus George Clooney's Siriana beard. Let the fur fly, Billy D.
So
he wants beards to fight.
Beards to fight. Okay.
Okay. So we got Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And The Thing.
Uh huh.
Big old beard.
Yes.
George Clooney did Siriana. What was that, like 5-6 years ago? Maybe a little longer.
Big old beard.
He had a big old beard too.
May I interject something?
Yes, you can.
Billy, seriously, what is wrong with you? what are we talking about here? That beards are fighting?
He's one of our friends. What do you think's wrong
with
him?
Yeah, he is one of our friends. So that actually should explain.
Get well soon. That's
exactly.
All I'm
saying.
All right. All right, so of the two beards, which is the better actor?
I'm going to go with Mr. Russell on this one.
Okay.
His beard was a better actor.
His beard had more to do.
Yes.
It had more to do.
Exactly.
Had to keep his face warm.
Yep. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of snow.
And it had that wicked cowboy hat attached to it.
All George Clooney's beard did was hide his fat face because he gained weight for that role.
Yeah.
So just hit his double chin.
Yeah.
I guess that the Thing beard did more heavy lifting. So, I'll go with that.
Can I say potato?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Potato.
It's an open-ended question.
All right.
All right, now which beard would win in a fight?
Oh, definitely Kurt Russell's beard.
It had to fight The Thing.
Yeah, I mean, the Siriana beard
only had to fight terrorism. I don't know. Terrorism is a pretty tough opponent.
It is. But, I mean, an alien that shapeshifts and morphs and wants to be inside you.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going with you with Kurt Russell's.
All right.
It's time to buy into this.
We have a good time. Curtis is on board with
you
beard
really
versus
think
beard
about
action.
It.
Yeah, you got to think about it logically here.
Yeah, if you break it down. All right, well, then I guess we're all going to go with Kurt Russell beard destroys in the Crespo Dome tonight. Sorry,
yes.
George Clooney, Siriana beard. You want to do, you got some trivia, you said?
I got some trivia for you guys.
All right, let's go ahead and break some of that trivia out here. This is what Curtis does, people, so let the man, let the master do his thing. Here we go.
All right, this is called the All-Star Co-Star Quiz. All right?
All right.
Now, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you two co-stars,
okay,
and you give me the movie.
Okay.
All right? Now, first we're going to have a raise of the hand.
Okay.
And then whoever gets that one right, they get the next question opposed to them.
Okay.
If you get that one wrong, then it will go to the next person.
Sounds good.
All right, sounds great.
All right, so here, but right now, you're both in this first one.
Okay, you want to do the raise the hand, or how about we say our names so you can hear us?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so I'll buzz in by saying Drew.
All right,
and
ready?
Drew will buzz in by saying Chris.
So we can totally confuse everybody.
All right, you ready? You got it?
Chris.
Drew. Okay, here we go.
All right, here we go. Justin Timberlake. Jesse Eisenberg.
Drew.
True.
Chris.
Yes, Chris.
The Social Network.
That's correct. Now this next one goes to you.
Okay.
They're going to get harder.
Okay. All right? Okay.
So, okay. Mia Sara and Matthew Broderick.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
All right. Next one's going to you. Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan.
The Karate Kid, which should have been called The Kung Fu Kid.
Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd.
It's Trading Places.
Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon.
Bull Durham.
You're so good. let's see here. Bruce Willis. Oh, we did this one already. Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy.
48 Hours, yep. And another 48 Hours.
Steve Guttenberg and Kim Cattrall.
Police Academy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers.
Predator.
Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg.
The other guys, love that.
Oh, okay. All right. Steve Carell and Tina Fey.
Date Night.
You're so good. Rooney Mara and Daniel Craig.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Unstoppable. Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth.
King's Speech.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Ellen Page.
Going back thinking. That's a recent one. Was she in? She wasn't in that.
Get ready, Drew.
Get ready, Drew.
I'm trying to think of who Ellen Page is.
I'll tell you who Ellen Page is to help you out.
Okay.
It's Juno.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got it.
Oh, you know it?
I know it.
All right, I don't know it. I don't know why I'm saying.
Inception.
Inception. Ah, it goes to Drew now.
Good job, Drew. Damn it.
All right, Drew. Let's see. Daniel Craig, Javier Bardem.
Oh. Oh, I know this, too. I can't remember for the life of me.
And the sky falls.
Yes.
Back to Chris. Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson.
That's Hunger Games.
Yes, indeed. Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum.
That's 21 Jump Street. And they just announced a sequel. It's going to be called 22 Jump Street.
So gay.
Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Looper.
Wow.
Fantastic movie.
Matt Damon, Scarlett Johansson.
That's Matt Damon and ScarJo.
Yeah, I think I have this right.
Matt Damon and ScarJo. Not that one. Oh, man. I don't know. I don't got that one.
Do you got it, Drew?
I don't have that one either.
No idea.
All right, that's We Bought a Zoo.
No,
one saw We Bought a Zoo. All right, going back to you, Chris. I only have three more.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman.
Thor.
Yes. Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon.
Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon. Again, Matt Damon throwing me off.
Dude.
Oh, Drew's got it. We got Drew.
What do you
got? It's Oh, come on. True Grit.
Yes,
True
very grit. Good.
Ah, come on!
All right, this is the last one.
All right, Drew.
In a high note.
Bring it home.
Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford.
Aliens, Jon Favreau. God damn, I can't think of the name of the movie.
You got half the title.
I know.
And it's very simple.
Oh.
What else?
Cowboys and Aliens.
Drew Goo Guy Pan is
good job.
Awesome.
Thanks. There you go. Some classic Curtis Earth trivia, movie style.
All-star, co-star quiz.
Appreciate it. Very nice. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show. We only got a couple things left. We got the lightning round.
Okay.
All right, this is where we get inside your mind, Curtis, and I'm going to ask you 10 quick questions. You give me... Yeah, I know, it's fine. I'll put the music in later, and then the music I've been playing the whole time, and then this little banter would have made no sense.
Which is great.
Post-production, man.
I know.
It's a wonderful thing.
Fantastic.
I'm going to hit you with 10 questions really quick. You give me the first answer that comes to mind. This whole thing is all about getting inside your brain and figuring out who is Curtis Earth, really.
Okay.
You ready, buddy?
I guess.
All right, so just... The answer is as it comes to you. Ready? Yeah. Number one, curly fries or onion rings?
Curly fries.
Number two, what number am I thinking?
Nine.
All right. Number three. Have you traveled abroad?
Yes.
Would you like to expand? Or? You can if you want.
Yeah, St. Thomas and Mexico. I've never been to Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number four. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Number five. Where are all the leprechauns?
In Drew's brain.
Number six. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob.
All right. Number seven. Why trivia?
Why not?
Number eight. Your favorite stage play / musical?
Yeah, that would have to be Grease.
Okay. Number nine. More technology or less technology?
More technology.
And finally, number 10. Think of a color. Look at me. Think of a color. Look at my eyes.
Yeah.
Is it green?
It is green.
Ha ha! Crespo Damas strikes again!
Now, I am nearsighted. I can't even see the color of your eyes. Are your eyes green?
No, they're not. They're brown.
That's weird.
They're
no,
brown.
With the tape around his next to his eyes are green.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't think about that. That's the second time I've done that, though. I got the color right because I am Crespo Damas. What number am I thinking? You said nine. I was actually thinking of my phone number.
Unfortunately.
And I'm not going to announce that on the air. So there you go. That was a lightning round. Thank you very much.
You might get lucky. You should put it on the air.
Yeah, if people wanted to know. There's ways to get a hold of me. Twitter, I am Chris Crespo.
If you ask me, I'll give you guys his phone number.
Oh, boy.
I've got it.
Please don't.
All you got to do is ask me on Twitter. I'll give you his home phone.
Curtis, that green bag behind you, sir. Do you see that bag?
I do.
That is your Crespo Diso swag bag.
I get a swag bag.
You get a swag bag. Would you mind passing that over to me real quick?
Wow, it's heavy.
It is pretty heavy.
Some stuff in here.
Yes, this is all your stuff, good sir. I'm going to tell the people what you got. It's always a mystery.
This is nice. A nice touch, you guys.
Yeah.
You know how they do at like award shows and stuff. You go to the gifting suite. They give you the iPads and the designer jeans.
Yeah. We do the same thing, except our budget's very low. Very low.
Sean Combs always gives me his bag. Whenever at the designer fashion after party.
Yeah, he's nice like that. Yeah. How many iPads do you need? Here you go. A DVD copy of David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises.
Have you ever seen this one with Viggo Mortensen. It's actually quite a good movie.
He fights completely nude in the bathhouse.
Yes, he does.
Against guys with knives.
Well,
so
I'll just fast forward to that.
There you go. Here you go. Some Sonic Sound Sizzlers noise magnets tossed together to hear them sizzle.
Nice.
That's what it says on the package.
Okay.
You toss them together and they... Okay.
And they make some sort of noise. I don't know. Here we go. I got you a bag of marbles and it comes with a bonus super shooter marble in there.
Oh,
awesome,
man.
I lost mine a couple of weeks ago.
Well, Chris got you some more.
So there you go. And
this is fantastic.
Got you a coffee mug that says Born to Shop.
Nice.
Right. Oh, this is re-gifting right now is what's happening.
I bought that specifically for the swag bag.
Okay.
He does. He goes out to a dollar store and buys a bunch of stuff.
And there you go, sir.
Thank you very much. All your stuff. I feel very warm and loved.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. And we're going to have you back soon enough, so you'll get more swag when you do come back.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Gentlemen, it's been an honor, and may God breed you all.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Appreciate it. And thank you very much all for listening to episode 25. We'll be back next week for 26.
Oh, yeah.
Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, aircheck.us, or chriscrespo.com, Facebook, Instagram, just search.
Everywhere.
Just do a Google search.
You'll We're around. Us.
So thanks a lot for listening. Tell your friends, tell your foes, and get everyone on board. It's in the Crespo Diso. Have a good one.
Do it.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Thank you very much.